Riley here. Welcome to the No Spin News. Tuesday, August 31st, 2021. Stand up for your country. And President Biden tried to stand up for his country today and his administration and himself. Was he successful? That is our lead story, and I will analyze the president's speech today. He was 2 hours late, and that's not unusual. That signals there's not a lot of discipline within the White House, and they changed things up until the last minute by debating his consensus speech. All right, so it's four or five people writing it. He doesn't write it. Now, his tone was defiant and tough guy, Joe. And he basically put forth that he made a commitment to the American people while he was running for president, said he'd get out of Afghanistan. He has now withheld any doubt that his commitment was phony. He got out. He did what he said he would do. Okay, that's true. But the way he got out is the subject of worldwide debate. So in this speech, there were three elements, and we're going to play you three sound bites, all right? The first element was our evacuation from Afghanistan was a tremendous success. Roll the tape.
The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals. For weeks, they risked their lives to get American citizens, Afghans who helped us, citizens of our allies and partners and others on board planes and out of the country. And they did it facing a crush of enormous crowds seeking to leave the country. And they did it knowing ISIS-K terrorists, sworn enemies of the Taliban, were lurking in the midst of those crowds.
So this was an extraordinary success, according to President Biden, because of all the things that he just told you. Well, who caused those things? Who caused the ISIS-K? That was you, Mr. President, because you abandoned Bagram and they, Taliban, let all the ISIS out of jail. That's you. Who caused the chaos at the airport? Well, that was you, because you could have used Bagram, a much more secure facility, and out of the Kabul nexus, but you didn't. You abandoned Bagram and use the civilian airport that had one less runway. So all of the things that he says are rather deceiving because the Biden administration caused all of the chaos at the end. They didn't have to do it that way. And this will nail down my point. Do you believe that in the years to come, any military evacuation course taught at West Point will use Afghanistan as the model? Do you? It was a screw up. It was not an extraordinary success. Second bite is the blame game. So the president blamed the Afghan army for folding and the Afghan government malfeasance and corruption. Blame them. But he also blamed Donald Trump.
My predecessor, the former president, signed an agreement with the Taliban to remove U.S. troops by May the 1st, just months after I was inaugurated. It included no requirement that the Taliban work out a cooperative governing arrangement with the Afghan government. But it did authorize the release of 5,000 prisoners last year, including some of the Taliban's top war commanders, among those who just took control of Afghanistan. By the time I came to office, the Taliban was in its strongest military position since 2001, controlling or contesting nearly half of the country.
Now, that can be debated. I'm sure former President Trump will have a reply to all of that. I'm not going to get into that today. What I will tell you is what I reported last week when I spoke to Donald Trump. He said that he had an arrangement with the Taliban that no Americans would be harmed. Okay, remember, 13 are dead under the Biden administration. that no Americans would be harmed, and that held for more than a year. No American casualties for more than a year. Okay? And he told me that he told the Taliban on the phone that he would kill them if they did what they did, took over the country, that he would hold them personally responsible and they would cease to exist because of drones. So, all right, he's blaming Trump, he's blaming the Afghan people. Again, President Biden admits no mistake at all in this whole fiasco of getting out of there. I don't quibble with leaving the war in Afghanistan, okay? But as you'll hear coming up with Senator Joseph Lieberman, the war in Afghanistan was over months ago, and it's an interesting point. But anyway, Mr. Biden says that we had no compelling interest to stay. He made no mistakes whatsoever, and here's how he wrapped it up. Go.
I take responsibility for the decision. Now, some say we should have started mass evacuation sooner. And couldn't this have been done in a more orderly manner? I respectfully disagree.
Okay, so there you have it. President did everything perfectly, all right? His own words were extraordinary success. You have eyes, I have eyes, all right? We know what we saw and what we will continue to see. There were options. Everyone knows that Bagram could have been kept, that a residual force of U.S. people and our allies could have been kept in Afghanistan. Those were options. Mr. Biden didn't want to do it. No compelling interest to do it, he said. So I think this is a fairly clear situation. You heard what the president said, and I reported it fairly. I'm not cheap-shotting him. I'm not deriding him. I disagree with him, but he had his say. He did nothing, zero. He and his administration made no mistakes in this evacuation whatsoever. They had an extraordinary success. Okay, so it is my job to present you with the best analysis I can, and that not only includes, that's not only me. That includes other people. So I searched around in my mind to find a guest after the president's speech who wouldn't cheap shot Mr. Biden. Because that's easy. That's all day long. You're going to hear that for the next week or so. Okay? But somebody who really knows the turf and who knows Mr. Biden and who was once a vice presidential candidate for president. The man is Senator Joseph Lieberman. Now, he served 24 years. He retired in 2013, but he's still very active abroad. Knows everybody, okay? Been to Afghanistan, Middle East, all kinds of times, all right? He knows a lot more about Afghanistan than President Biden does. So joining us now from Riverdale, New York, is the aforementioned Senator Joseph Lieberman. Now, in my opinion, I've known you for decades. You know as much about the world, American foreign affairs, as anybody does. So if you were president in 2021, how would you have handled Afghanistan?
Well, thanks, Bill. First, I want to accept your nomination. That was really the easiest nomination I ever had. It's a great question, and I would have handled it very differently. I believed for some years that that we were actually no longer at war, we the U.S., in Afghanistan, that we were there fundamentally on a counterterrorism mission to stop Afghanistan from again being used as a base from which to attack us and our allies. And we were doing it very successfully, as you know, down to 2,500 troops from over 150,000 before. We were given kind of morale, backup support, some air cover, some intelligence to the Afghan military and the government, and that was enough to keep them going and to hold off the Taliban. So I think the decision made by President Biden and contemplated by President Trump was essentially a surrender to an enemy, the Taliban, that we had already defeated, and an invitation to exactly the kind of chaos that has occurred in Afghanistan over the last several weeks. And, okay. And it hasn't.
Now, this has evolved from the Trump administration, and the former president told me that he wanted to pull out for two reasons. Number one, that he didn't want American service people over there in any danger at all. And number two, that he didn't believe the billions of dollars that we had to spend to keep anybody there was worth it, that we didn't get as much intel to justify that kind of expenditure. But he also told me that he would never, ever have pulled out the way that President Biden did. And if the Taliban violated the agreement and he were still president, he would have attacked the Taliban militarily. So that's President Trump's story. President Biden's story is that the American people demanded that everybody be pulled out of there, and it was his mandate to do it. Do you buy that?
I don't buy it. I mean, I never buy conducting American foreign policy or national security based on public opinion polls. You're elected to be the commander in chief. You got to do what you yourself think is best for our country's security. But listen, President Biden believed for a long time now that we should be out of Afghanistan. And I didn't get it because listen, last year, General Jack Keane, the former vice chief of the Army, and I wrote an open letter to President Trump, and really the same thing to President Biden. Don't pull out because you're going to have to reconstitute that counterterrorism mission that you've got now in Afghanistan. Is it costly? It is. Is it worth it for our security? I believe it is. You know, there was an interesting story, never denied by the Biden administration, that at the meeting that President Biden held with President Putin of Russia in June, Biden told Putin that he hoped to essentially reconstitute America's counterterrorism center in Central Asia from Afghanistan to a neighboring friendly country. And Putin said, no way. And I'm afraid Biden withdrew the plan. Well, that shows you why what we've been doing in Afghanistan, and even Biden, I think, understood it as he got closer to the actual pullout from Afghanistan, was really important to our security. I hope the Afghans, the Taliban changes, but
they're not going to change, Senator. Both you and I in our lifetime know they're not going to change, and terrorism will ramp up out of Afghanistan. Now, you made a very, very important and I think brilliant point. I'm not just blowing smoke at you. The Afghan war had really ended. There hadn't been an American casualty in more than a year. Now, part of that was because of Trump. Trump told the Taliban on the phone that if they attacked Americans, he was going to kill them personally with drones. And because of what happened to al-Baghdadi and Soleimani, they believed him. However, once Biden took over, then it seems to me that there was no one in charge of drawing down and closing it up, because it's incomprehensible that you would abandon Bagram Air Force Base. And both you and I have been there. We know how big it is and how secure it is. They're holding 1,000 ISIS prisoners there. All right. And you got buku American arms all over the place. You abandon it. For what reason? Why? Why would you do that ever? I don't understand it. Has anybody given you a reason?
No good reason. The only good reason, and it's a terrible reason, is that maybe this is what they thought would please the Taliban. But the Taliban are our enemy. Come on, wake up, folks. They've been trying to kill us, and they have killed a lot of us for a long time. The years ahead are full of danger for us. But you're absolutely right. Bagram became really a first-class airport outside of all the urban congestion of Kabul. It would have been a place for a much better, smoother, safer evacuation.
Could have shipped those ISIS prisoners out of there to other prisons around the world. Now, the other thing that absolutely drives me crazy, I don't know one NATO nation or one American ally, and maybe you do, that thinks Biden did a good job in getting out of Afghanistan? Is there one country in the world that thinks he did a good job that you know of?
No, nobody who's an ally of ours. I'm sure the Iranians are happy at how he did. The Chinese and the Russians are, because it mortified and embarrassed and weakened the United States. But it's a really, your point is a really good one, Bill, because we've been used to for a long time thinking, you know, we're the leaders and we drag the Europeans and our NATO allies along. Here, they were much more on target about what we should do than President Biden and his administration were, because they didn't, all along, they wanted more time to evacuate. You know, I want to come back to your point. I've made it clear. I didn't agree with the whole idea of withdrawing from Afghanistan. But if you're going to decide to do it, I mean, come on. We have more competence than that. It was just a disaster, chaos. Nobody really planned. And then all along, we kept yielding to the Taliban. You don't want us to be involved in the evacuation after August 31st, even though we've told you, United States of America, strongest country in the world, that we want to get this done and do it after the 31st. Okay, if that's what you say, we're getting out on the 31st. You can't be a safe nation, or let alone a great nation, if you start yielding and knuckling under to terrorists like the Taliban, who are and always will be.
All right, I've saved my toughest question for last, Senator, and I'm sorry I have to ask you this question. As an American, I'm sorry I have to ask this question. You have known Joe Biden up close and personal for decades. Is he a diminished man in your opinion?
Well, frankly, I haven't spent time with him in the last year or so, so I can't tell you personally. I just think that the Biden that I see in the White House is not the Biden I served with all those years. And what I mean is he's let himself be pulled along domestically by the left wing of the party, which will take America and the Democratic Party nowhere good. And on something like this, now, you know, really on foreign policy, he and I disagreed that we remain friends a lot. I think he's been wrong on Afghanistan for a long time. And here he had the opportunity to implement that wrong policy with disastrous consequences for the our security and the loss of lives of American soldiers, and just terrible things ahead for Afghanistan. So, you know, I'm concerned about it. I am. I don't think he's diminished per se. I don't know enough to say that, but I think he's made some big mistakes, and this is probably the biggest of all since he's been president. Incidentally, Bill, one last word. He's got more self-interest than anybody else. He's been very defensive, a few times acknowledging the heartbreak with everything happening in Afghanistan. He's really got to do what President Kennedy did after the Bay of Pigs and do a tough, no-holds-barred internal investigation of, even if you assume that he won't change his mind about withdrawing, how did the evacuation get so screwed up? And if he finds people wanting who are around him, he better let them go and get a better team, and he better think about his own behavior in the next crisis. I wrote somewhere in an article that if this was a parliamentary democracy, the Biden government after Afghanistan would probably fall.
Yeah, it would have
fallen.
But
it's not. Yeah,
no
he's
doubt
got three
about
and
it.
A half years. Right. He's got 3.5 years, and he better make sure that he's ready for those 3.5 years and that he can give the country the kind of leadership it deserves.
Yeah, I have no confidence in that. Hey, Senator, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. It's very good to see you. You're looking very
you
well.
You too, Bill.
And I hope we can talk again soon. Thank you very much.
Me too. God bless.
Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as a world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Okay, so this is a heartbreaking story, and I almost hate to bring it to you, but most of the families of the fallen U.S. service people last Thursday were killed at Kabul airport. They don't like, personally, Joe Biden. Roll the tape.
My son was one of the Marines that died yesterday. 20 years and 6 months old, getting ready to come home from frickin' Jordan to be with his wife to watch the birth of his son. And that feckless, dementia-ridden piece of crap just sent my son to die. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning to Marines at my door telling me my son was dead.
On every last one, all 13, he looked down at his watch. And as a father, you know, seeing that and the disrespect and hearing from his former leaders, one of his master sergeants said exactly what you just said, that this was avoidable, that they left them over there, they had them over there and let them down. And that we can't have that. It can't happen ever again.
Okay. Now, incredibly, there are still brainwashed media pundits on corporate media that are defending Joe Biden in Afghanistan. Roll it.
One of the most annoying aspects about covering the Biden withdrawal from Afghanistan is that the American public support the withdrawal, and those of us who oppose this catastrophic war have been tragically vindicated. And yet you wouldn't know any of that from the debate we're having right now. Our newspaper op-ed pages, our TV screens are filled with people who got it wrong, still trying to lecture the rest of us about what should happen now in Afghanistan.
To me, I just don't understand it. I don't understand all this criticism of Biden. To me, Biden made the right decision. Other presidents were reluctant to leave because they understood that by kicking the can down the road, they were preventing this kind of political static from taking place.
That is just dishonest. And I've known Juan Williams for decades. It's not about kicking any can, all right? It's about how screwed up the entire military evacuation was. It's not a matter of policy. Both of those morons, I'm sorry, I'm going to use the word, all right? Are hitting you on policy. It's not about policy. You can believe, as Trump did and Biden does, that we shouldn't be in Afghanistan. And you can believe, as Senator Lieberman and I do, that you should have left a residual force. Those are legitimate debate questions. But to try to condone what happened over the last 3 weeks, as Williams just did, is insulting. It's insulting to me. Rasmussen Daily Tracking. Okay, we're going to give you this a couple of times a week now. 44% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Biden's job performance. That's today. 54% disapprove. So he is going south fast. All right, so that wraps up our coverage on Afghanistan. Tomorrow, I'll read a lot of mail about how we conducted ourselves today. So I hope you will be with us. Let's shift over to COVID. So there are a bunch of stories in play. The Justice Department, the civil rights division of it, is threatening five Republican states which have voted to ban mask mandates. All right, those states are Iowa, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah. All right, so the civil rights division of the Justice Department says, we're investigating you. Why? States have a right to vote and pass public health laws. These states, and others are considering it, don't want kids to have to wear masks in school. However, here's why this is bogus. If you, a parent, want your kid to wear a mask in school, that child can. That child can. There's no ban on mask wearing. There's a ban on mandates. So this is all a bunch of garbage coming out of the Biden Justice Department. In Florida, there's a big problem there, okay? Because so many people are dying from COVID. So the governor, Ron DeSantis, on July 30th, all right, signed an executive order that says school districts cannot mandate students wearing masks, all right? So that's illegal. But again, if you want to, you can. And then on August 27th, about a month later, a Florida judge, John Cooper, said the executive order by DeSantis is illegal. He goes over his power, okay? It's unconstitutional according to the Florida Constitution. So what happened? Well, the education commissioner of Florida, Richard Corcoran, says he's not going to obey the judge. And the mandate will stand. Or Tallahassee will punish the schools that mandate. Now, going forward, I'm watching the story, but Corcoran could be criminally charged, not DeSantis, because Corcoran is in charge of defying the judge's order. So that's where we stand in Florida. Poll, Gallup, asked in terms of school policies regarding COVID, who should be required to wear face masks while attending school this fall? Okay? This is 674 parents that Gallup talked to. All students, 48%. No students, 41%. Only unvaccinated students, 11%. So the majority don't want mandatory masks in school, according to this poll, but it's skewed Democrat a little bit. This is an interesting story. According to the University of Michigan and Kaiser Permanente, Southern California, chubby kids are increasing in number because of the pandemic. So 5 to 11-year-old Americans, their overweight increased from 36 to 46%. So most kids have baby fat. I did. But now, about half the kids in the country, 5 to 11. 12 to 15, when you're in adolescence and you're working it off, increased by 13%. And that's because the kids are sitting on their butt in the house on the machines. That's why. Okay, let's go to California. Most populated state in the union, 39.6 million people live in California. It is the fifth largest economy in the world. Think about that. Fifth largest economy in the world. However, since 2018, at least 265 companies have left California. They are, some of them, Apple, Nestle, Hewlett-Packard, Oracle, Darvis, and on and on and on and on. That's an enormous flight of corporations. And the reasons are they can't hire workers because the workers can't afford housing, particularly on the coast. Okay? They're too regulated, too heavily taxed, and they don't want to do business there. So they're going to low tax states like Texas, Florida, Nevada. All right? They're pulling out. Now, what this is going to do is collapse the California economy because so much of the taxation there goes to entitlements for illegal aliens, for drug addicts, for you name it. Well, who's going to pay if those companies are moving out and all their workers are leaving? Their tax base is going to shrink. So they have to raise taxes even more, and that'll cause more people to move out. That's what's happening in New York, where I live, in Illinois, in all the progressive states. The same thing is happening. California, for the first time in its 170-year history, lost a congressional seat last year. Cancel culture. Now, I'm going to play you a soundbite. This is from yesterday. It has to do with Hurricane Ida. And here is the President of the United States. Go.
I'm here with my senior advisor and boy who knows Louisiana very, very well, man. And in New Orleans, and Cedric Richmond.
A boy. And then he corrected himself, man. Now, if President Trump had said that, there would have been 10 days. He's a racist, right? Everybody knows it. So Biden, who doesn't really know what he's saying, as I've said for months, says a boy who knows, man. Now that was a mistake. It wasn't deliberate. I don't think it came from a cognitive deficit, but I could be wrong on that. But he's trying to be nice to the guy, saying the guy knows this area very well, and he's a friend of mine, an advisor of mine. But he uses the word boy, and he's an African-American. Now, press ignored it totally. I'm only pointing it out to show you how corrupt the press is. I don't think Biden meant any malice here. But if Trump did it, or I did it, or Glenn Beck did it, or Mark Levin did it, or Hannity did it, calls for our cancellation immediately. Even if we just made a mistake and corrected it. China. Just say a prayer tonight, even if you're an atheist, that you don't live in China, and thank nature or the deity, whatever you believe in. China now has told its 1.5 billion citizens that children under 18 can only play on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays on the internet. Games. That's it. 3 hours a week. 1 hour each day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's all. Now, what if the kid plays 5, 7 hours, 10 hours? Well, there will be Chinese monitoring through the internet companies the people's computers, which they do anyway. This is a totalitarian system. Now, how will you be punished? Probably fined, I would imagine. But I just wanted to tell you the extent of the lack of freedom in China. It's incredible. This day in history, August 31st, 1888, Jack the Ripper killed his first victim, was a prostitute named Mary Ann Nichols, 43 years old. Now, he would murder at least five women, including Mary Ann, in gruesome, gruesome ways, with a 6-inch knife, carve them up. This happened near Whitechapel in London. I went to Queen Mary College my third year, and that was very close to Whitechapel. In fact, I walked through it a number of times a week. And every time I walked through Whitechapel, there are reminders of Jack the Ripper. It's interesting. So you've heard the name, and this was 133 years ago. Crime was never solved. Why? There were legions of prostitutes back then in Victorian London, and the police were very bad. Scotland Yard, which was the top of the chain on law enforcement then, they didn't have forensics. They didn't have fingerprints. So they never solved the crime. Five women were mutilated, and then Jack the Ripper disappeared. And they never found him. And they never will. 133 years ago today. Back with some mail and a final thought on President Trump today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, let's get to the mail. Stephen on a message board. Bill, if President Trump looked at his watch while coffins of fallen warriors are being unloaded at Dover, the media would have gone ballistic. He would have been impeached, I think. He was impeached twice on stuff he never should have been impeached on. This, they would have tried it again. Tom, regarding the billions of dollars in weapons we left behind, could we not have just blown up most of them? I'm going to do this one more time because I get legions of mail on this. Most of the weapons in the hands of the Taliban right now came from the Afghan army. They were not abandoned by the U.S. armed forces. So we supplied for 20 years the Afghan army with everything from helicopters to machine guns. When the Afghan army surrendered, they handed over all their weapons to the Taliban. Okay? That's how it happened. Now, there were some, I'm sure, that we left behind, but that is not the essential problem. Thomas Cook, Happy Valley, Oregon. The emotion that you and Glenn Beck showed on the Afghan interview was pretty raw, and I was touched by it. The Democrats have a Biden problem. He's no longer a useful idiot. He's become an idiotic liability. It'd be interesting to see how the Democrats attempt to extricate themselves from this little problem. It's a big problem. And the party does not know what to do. And I continue to say the midterms are going to be grisly next year for the Democratic Party. Marie Gemery, Boynton Beach, Florida, nice town. How is President Biden's approval rating at 45%? How can anyone support the man? Look, Marie, let's be charitable. 50% of the American population, half, no clue. None. If you add up those who watch TV news with those who have a newspaper subscription, it's 10%, 15% of the entire population. Other people, they go on the internet, they get stuff, but the internet's not vetted. So most Americans don't know what's happening. Yes, they know about Afghanistan because it's such a big deal, but they can't formulate right and wrong, good and bad, strength and weakness. And that's frightening. Angela Stanford, New Albany, Mississippi. Bill, thanks for your no-spin reliable news. Why won't Donald Trump speak up way more in support of the vaccine? He's done it a couple of times. He did it in Alabama last week. He was booed. So Mr. Trump knows that many of his supporters don't want the vaccine. That's why you don't hear him say more. But he has, to his credit, on more than one occasion, promoted the vaccine, which is the solution to COVID. Gene Manning, Hockessin, Delaware. Bill, I don't hear anything in the news about missing chips for cars. Is this a result of COVID? I ordered a Mercedes in March, have not received it. Number one, I'm sorry to say Mercedes is a terrible company. Awful in every way. I'm sorry you haven't received your chips, and it is because of COVID. Those manufacturing plants, particularly in Germany, closed down, very hard to ramp up. Richard Majika, Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina, one of the great names of a town. Bill, I'm disappointed and surprised that you would side with those who are in agreement for paroling Sirhan Sirhan. Remember, he was due to be executed. You're absolutely correct, Richard. And California banned the death penalty, so he got life. 53 years in prison, 77 years old. I'm on the fence on it. I'm on the fence. But when I'm on the fence, I usually err on the side of compassion. But if it were my father he murdered, I might see it differently. Harvey Kemper, Bella Vista, Arkansas. I appreciate all your hard work, Bill, and providing the information that is factual and correct. It is hard work. And my staff, now, one of the best in the country. And it took a while for them to get there, but it's a discipline. And we are exact, precise in what we present to you. And I'm glad you noticed, because it's very important, Harvey, because most of the other places, including the big networks, you're not getting the truth. All right, 40% off Killing Crazy Horse and Killing the Mob together. One of the best deals we've ever had. If you become a concierge member, upgrade from premium membership, throw in a free book. That's the greatest deal ever, too. This 40% off deal is not going to last much longer, so hop on it if you want to read the books, and they're worth reading. Word of the day, do not be a moon calf. Real word, M-O-O-N-C-A-L-F, a moon calf. Don't be that. Back with a final thought in a moment.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Time out for the final thought of the day. I thought long and hard about telling you this because my conversations with all politicians are off the record when they call me. I don't call them. So before I left on vacation, I did have a conversation with Donald Trump because we have the Trump shows coming up in December, and that's closing in fast, and we're going to begin marketing those shows in late September. And it's going to be a pretty sophisticated marketing effort in Florida and Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Houston, Dallas in December. So, you know, we're coordinating how we're going to do it. In the body of that conversation, the president asked my opinion on Afghanistan, and this is what I told him. I said, it's a giant screw up. But if I were you, Mr. President, I always call him Mr. President, I wouldn't say too much, a little bit. And if I wanted to go and make a point, I'd do it on Hannity, because that's a high visibility situation. But I would let it play out, okay? Don't inject yourself into the story. Let President Biden deal with it, and at the end, we'll see what happens. Now, this was 3 weeks ago, maybe four, and we absolutely have seen what happened. So for perhaps the first time, I think Donald Trump took my advice because he appeared on Hannity, and then he appeared with Greg Kelly on Newsmax, and then he did some radio. Hugh Hewitt and Breitbart, and I think he did Hannity Radio too. That's it. So I think he listened to me. Now, in the Trump O'Reilly history tour, Afghanistan, right here, unless there's something else that happened, it might be the lead. Because I want to know everything that happened, and I'll get it. If you want to see the shows, go to BillO'Reilly.com. We'll pop you right over to the box offices. All right, so that is the No Spin News for tonight. As always, we appreciate you watching. Tomorrow we have reaction to the president's speech and to our interview with Senator Lieberman. We'll see you then.